Good morning and welcome, my friends. Fourth and final hour of our get together. We call it the 9 o'clock stretch. Stretch it out. Yeah, there you go. It is 9:06, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Locally and nationally, really, Congresswoman Kat Kamick receiving death threats to the point to where she had to evacuate her offices. Going on right now, Pentagon officials are outlining specifics of their highly successful strikes on Iran and, you know, maybe crushing some of those, you know, leaks with the truth and the facts. And that's a good thing. You know what else is a good thing? Valor. And we do it every weekday in June at 8:35. And in case you missed it today, of course, you can always pick up the podcast, the Bob Rose Show podcast, available wherever you normally get your podcast. Click on subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute of the show, including when we shine a spotlight on first responders that go above and beyond. And we call it Valor. In case you missed it, presented by Campus USA Credit Union, Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Today, we're saluting Corporal Trenton Lovell, Bradford County Sheriff's Office. Basically, responded to a resident who was choking, and by the time he got there, the guy was not breathing, performed CPR, and then when fire rescue got there, I mean, they kept working on this guy. They got a pulse, then they lost the pulse. Then they got the pulse back and got him to the hospital, and the man made a full recovery, and that's pretty awesome stuff there, saving someone's life, literally. So we're proud to salute the life-saving professionalism of Corporal Trenton Lovell, and we'll have another a Valor honoree that we'll tell you all about tomorrow morning at 8:35. And we appreciate all the great feedback and response we've gotten for this program. And, we're pretty proud of it because we think it's a good thing. And these are people that aren't seeking any kind of awards or accolades, but when they're nominated by, you know, the people that they work with and for, we like to tell their stories. We're happy to do so. There are so many examples and parallels I could draw here with the next story. You never want to see them how they make the sausage. You don't want to know what's in it. Don't read the hot dog package. Or to my friends that are maybe somewhat unfamiliar, don't read the scrapple ingredients either. Yeah, some things are just to be enjoyed with maybe a mild sense of ignorance. Within moderation, of course. Yes, as we are all looking at our health in a much more serious way. But here's an example. Go! Enjoy the beach! Have fun! Forget it's the 50th anniversary of the movie Jaws. Drone footage. I'm not going to even tell you where you can find it because I don't want to ruin your upcoming visit to the beach. But yeah, drone footage captured multiple sharks near Honeymoon Island in Dunedin. Very, very beautiful area. Also what includes to be a large hammerhead. I don't know why, but they look scarier than the rest. Don't they? Those big hammerheads. Footage was taken, I guess this would be yesterday, showed dozens of sharks swimming near the Dunedin Causeway. One drone operator reported seeing about 40 black-tipped sharks, followed by two larger sharks. And these sightings have been described as Shark Alley by some. They are in the water. But they generally are not going to bother you. But if you definitely know they're in there, most of us don't want to be in there with them. It's just one of those things, right? All right. Man, we're almost to Friday already. It is crazy. And it's been crazy hot. You know, Chuck Schumer, they put him in the hospital. Turns out it was just dehydration. Okay, so he's going to be all right. It's kind of a wake-up call for everybody, though, as we have these hotter and hotter temperatures setting in, and yet you want to spend some time outdoors. You either got things you got to get done around the house, or you want to just, you know, enjoy some fresh, hot, steamy air. But, yeah, you got to take care of yourself, dehydration, especially as we age. We forget things like Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of thirsty. Yeah.
I should drink something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, have that thought before you're just about to pass out would be a good idea.
Good plan.
President Donald Trump weighed in on the recent Democrat primary in New York, Democrat mayoral campaign. And I know it's hard to believe, criticized Democrat socialist Zoran Mamdani after he took the lead in the primary. Trump, he does have a way to label things effectively.
True. It's usually pretty accurate.
Called him a communist lunatic.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
I think he's right on.
I think so.
In a post on Truth Social, Trump criticized Democrats such as AOC, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, for backing him and groveling over him.
Wow.
Trump said, "It's finally happened. The Democrats have crossed the line. Zoran Mamdani is 100% communist lunatic. He just won the Democrat primary and is on his way to becoming mayor. We've had radical lefties before, but this is getting a little ridiculous."
Good point.
"He looks terrible. His voice is grating. He's not very smart. He's got an AOC plus three, dummies all, wow, backing him. And even our great Palestinian senator, crying Chuck Schumer, is groveling over him. Yes, this is a big moment in the history of our country." Trump's post came out right after Mamdani took a lead in the primary race over his opponents. Really, the top one was, you know, former Governor Andrew Cuomo. And he received 43.5% of the vote. Wow. Cuomo at 36. While Mamdani has declared victory and expressed that he is honored to be the Democratic nominee for the mayor of the New York City under the New York City's ranked choice voting system. If a candidate receives more than 50% of first choice votes, that candidate wins. If not, counting will continue in rounds, I guess. So, I think it's official really by now.
Yeah. You think a conservative has any shot whatsoever of winning? I mean, we would have thought with, you know, the trends around the country, maybe, but I don't know.
I guess it would depend maybe on how well policed the voter rolls and things are. I think that could have an impact. But I think this is an example where, you know, they've jerry-rigged the demographics by, you know, having a lot of foreign-born people living in New York City. I think it was you, Greg, that mentioned something about as many as 40% of current New York residents, New York City, this is, residents, are foreign-born, 40% foreign-born.
And the whole planting, I mean, that's how you get a Tlaib and an Omar and an AOC. I mean, they know what they're doing. They know how to work that.
They know, yep. They understand the districts and all that. And who would have thought, you know, well, New York City, they're not ready. That's not going to, no, this guy's too far left. Maybe not.
Are we forgetting what's happened to London already and their Muslim mayor and how bad it is there? We keep wanting to follow Europe like they're the way to go. And fortunately, a lot of Americans are realizing, no, all you got to do is look at the mess. And then they're all losing their culture, all of them.
What was it called? The Guardians, the street group that used to protect people in New York?
Oh, with the Red Berets.
Yes.
Yeah.
That guy Silva,
yeah, mm-hmm,
he's running, and he there's a lot of people who his name carries a lot of weight in the city. He might have a chance.
Yeah, could be interesting.
A chance, because yeah, you got to find somebody who you can get some Democrats to vote for, and and yet get enough excited Republicans too. I don't know.
It's a tough one.
I don't want to see New York City ruined.
Oh, no. It used to be a great town.
Yeah, and plus, the worse they make it there, the more the tendency is for people to move here. And
oh, we don't want that.
Well, we're just about full at the end.
Let's put a sign up.
9:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We're 30 minutes away from things that make you smile. News Talk, 97.3 The Sky. The name's Sliwa. Curtis Sliwa from the Guardian Angels. Details on that in just a minute. Hey, good morning and welcome. It is 9:21. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. No rockets firing right now. So far, ceasefire appears to be in place. The world is safe for now. Curtis Sliwa, Guardian Angels, is the GOP candidate in New York. An awful lot of attention. The Democrats are getting an awful lot of attention because of their recent primary where this guy Zohran Mamdani has won. And apparently this guy is a far-left nutbag. He wants to protect illegal aliens, even dangerous ones. I mean, for real. So, yeah, could a Republican win in New York City? Sure. Sure. Yeah, and his name is Curtis Sliwa. Now, the Guardian Angels were formed a long time ago. Do you remember that?
1979.
Really?
Yeah.
And the idea was they would help people safely get, you know, from wherever they were going to work to school, to church, you know, to shop, whatever. They were on the streets. They were peaceful. They didn't carry firearms. And they just did what they could to help keep the people in those communities safe. And they did a great job.
Oh, yeah.
And he was the head of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming, are they still around? Is he still the head of it? And I apologize. It's just, you know, I don't pay as much attention to everything that's, you know, political in New York. But I know this guy has name recognition for sure. And then Nick was just reminding me, he was on Hannity yesterday and I missed it. But apparently, I've seen him speak before. He is good in front of the public, and I understand his interview with Hannity was awesome. And he said something along the lines of, "He's the next Rudy Giuliani for New York City."
There you go.
Okay, and they figure, look, the Democrats are split, and there's going to be a lot of Democrats that are old school. They're not going to like this guy, and also, what about the large Jewish vote? Are they going to vote for a Muslim?
Ooh.
I mean, well, at a time when there's, you know, pretty high tensions and a whole lot of anti-Semitism going around.
Yeah, they tend to be very liberal when voting in America.
They tend to be, but
so,
could they
know.
Back? Could they back a Muslim?
I don't know.
Yeah. So this might be one of those rare opportunities for somebody like a Curtis Sliwa to step right on in. And good, I hope.
Oh yeah.
I hope this is a year that happens. I want good things for New York City. I want it to be a place where people enjoy visiting. I want it to be a place where people are not going to move to Florida from. So, yeah, a little selfish there, but just in general, yeah, I mean, we've got to try to, in every chance we can, to outnumber the weirdos and outvote them.
Yeah.
Because they're working tooth and nail night and day for just the opposite to occur. What are the odds that the same reporter that is behind a CNN story that was part of that whole leak of how much damage was or wasn't done, possibly, to the nuclear program in Iran after our bombardment, the same reporter behind that story also wrote the ex-Intel official story. Remember where 50 of them signed off on a letter that Hunter's laptop was Russian disinformation?
Same. So it's a trusted source, right?
Well.
Okay, maybe not.
Yeah, no, consistent.
Consistent, just not trusted.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the CNN reporters behind an anonymously sourced report stating that U.S. strikes in Iran did not destroy key components of nuclear sites also wrote the story in which over 50 former Intel officials claim Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation back in 2020. CNN reporter Natasha Bertrand, along with Katie Bo Lillis and Zachary Cohen, published the article. And it draws on a description of an early U.S. intelligence assessment from various anonymous sources. The story stated that core components of Iran's nuclear program were not destroyed in Operation Midnight Hammer and that the mission likely only set it back by months. However, Trump is calling for Bertrand to be fired And while he was doing that, he read a report from the Atomic Energy Commission of Israel later in the day, stating that the devastating U.S. strike on Fordo destroyed the site's critical infrastructure and rendered the enrichment facility totally inoperable, and that the mission thwarted Iran's ability to develop nuclear weapons for many years to come.
Okay.
Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard said the new intelligence has confirmed Iran's nuclear sites were destroyed. White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt said Wednesday that the FBI is investigating who was the source of the leak because it's an illegal leak to CNN, and highlighted Bertrand's coverage that framed the Hunter Biden laptop story as Russian disinformation when she was a reporter at Politico. In October of 2020, Bertrand wrote the original story about that letter. Her coverage earned her the number one spot on Breitbart News editor-in-chief Alex Marlowe's list of media's top 8 Hunter Biden laptop deniers.
Wow.
You gotta love that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
Yep. And these people in their careers, when they lie, besmirch, pass half-truths off, and all that, they advance their career. Yeah. Hopefully not for much longer. Now that Big Daddy Trump's in charge. Brother! It is 9:28 right now. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And we're about 15 minutes away from things that make you smile. Upbeat positive thoughts. Start thinking about that now on 97.3 The Sky. June is the month of valor, and we point that out every weekday in June at 8:35 and have a valor recipient. And the community is great about it, and we're very proud to be a part of it. And I think our first responders and law enforcement enjoy it as well. So it's what we call win-win.
Yep.
There are heroes around us. Got a great story. Yeah. Father-daughter going on a little getaway, a little trip. Okay. And they're going to, you know, float down the river, and they're going to go see where the little soft-shell turtles, you know, where they're hanging out and stuff like that. And so it's father-daughter get-together on the Bogchito River, kayaking it. This is in Louisiana, I believe. Bogalusa is the town. And so Michael Painter, 46, and his 10-year-old daughter, Carson, they're just having a good old time, right? And they, you know, they stop at an area and, you know, a little lunch, something like that. And then they're on a bluff now. And, you know, the water's down below. And, you know, being a dad with a 10-year-old daughter, you got to show off a little bit, right? Got to be the hip, cool daddy. And he said, watch this. Famous last words.
Yeah, right.
Took off down the hill. You know, he's picking up speed because he wanted to do a front flip, you know, like into the water. But at the last second, and we've seen these on those wipeout videos and stuff.
Yep.
At the last second, he lost his footing and drove his head straight into a pile of big jagged rocks laying along the bottom of the river. Wow. Now he thought, you know, there's water around me. I'm swimming. It's okay. Turns out he was paralyzed. Even though he wasn't far from shore, even though he wasn't far underwater, he still couldn't reach the surface, even though he could clearly see it. He said, I'm drifting down the river. I could feel my heels dragging on the bottom. Remember his daughter? She's up on the bluff. She's 10 years old. If she's in shock. Well, first she thinks maybe he's joking, because that's what 46-year-old dads do sometimes to their 10-year-old daughters. No, he was not joking. And in fact, it starts to set in his mind. He goes, I can't move. I'm paralyzed. He can't swim. So the thoughts are going through his mind. I'm helpless. I'm hopeless. I mean, this is just not good. And, you know, he even said that he thought he was swimming.
Isn't that strange?
And then you realize his arms were just dangling by his side.
That is so strange.
Isn't that? That is.
Your brain messes with you.
Yep. And then he could see the blood in the water all around me and his daughter. That's when she knew he wasn't joking either, when she saw the blood.
Right.
He thought to himself, I can't hold my breath anymore. I'm going to die. This is it. Mm. I'm preparing for it. At the moment he was about to give up and surrender, she grabbed his hand. He said, that was the biggest relief in my life. The little 10-year-old positioned her dad's limp head so that he could breathe as he dragged her well, they kind of dragged each other to the sandbar. But he's a 6 foot, 200-pound man, so she's really doing the dragging. She weighs 70 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, I mean, that's the best she could do, you know, get his head up out of the water. That's great. And he's and they're out in the middle of nowhere. He said, all right, now I need you to do something. And he gave her explicit instructions to paddle toward the car, grab his keys from his hat, get the cell phone, and try to find service and call for help. And he said it was hard letting his little girl paddle off by herself, but he didn't know what else he could do. And moments later, all right, a wicked thunderstorm breaks out, lightning streaks in the sky. He said, it's the darndest flood you've ever seen. My head barely sticking out of the water, sand slapping my face, hitting my eyes. Fast forward to an hour later, where he thinks at any minute the water's just going to cover him and he's going to drown. And he was about to give up, really. And he heard the sound of a boat motor. Mm. Yep. Well, little Carson, the 10-year-old, she made it to the car. She did call 911. She did then call all of Painter's friends. They formed an informal rescue armada and headed for him. Paramedics arrived. They put his neck in a brace. Yeah, he had fractured a vertebrae. And they said, you're as close to being permanently paralyzed as somebody can come. And he did some physical therapy. He needs to do more, but he is definitely recovering. And can you imagine that?
No.
Yeah. I mean, you're having fun 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
Next minute, you think, this is it. I'm going to die. I'm going to drown. Wow. And then the daughter becomes the hero. Daddy wanted to show off her daughter. I think the daughter didn't have to show off to daddy to show him who she really is.
You know, we see that so many times. People don't take into consideration, you know, okay, well, I was swimming here last year. Well, you know, what has happened to that water in the last year? What is there a log where there not used to be one? Has it, you know, has the current dug something out a little bit? It is dangerous, but we do it because it's fun.
I remember as kids, we probably weren't perfect jumping into bodies of water we weren't completely familiar with.
Right.
But I did use the term jumping.
Not diving.
Correct.
And that helps your odds of serious injury.
Yeah, it's still not smart either way.
No, not at all, but it helps.
But, yeah.
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 I mean, broken legs beats a head bashed into the rock.
You can survive a broken leg, but if you're knocked unconscious while you're underwater,
not good.
That's not good. And then if you do enough damage, well, even if somebody helps you out, you might not.
And you'll
be in control of your limbs.
Stuck with a career in radio or something.
Wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Oh, no.
Hey.
What?
It's time to party.
Really?
It's a 9 o'clock stretch. You need to lighten up.
That's a good point.
Pull over that sarcophagus.
Excuse me? Wow.
Yeah.
That's a party.
There's
a party.
If there was ever a scene, it was on the sarcophagus that they found.
Yeah.
Israeli archaeologists recently uncovered an ancient tomb, I guess you could call it, or sarcophagus, depicting a scene familiar to many today.
The dogs playing poker.
You're close.
Really?
Yeah.
That's scary.
It's Hercules playing a drinking game with Dionysus.
Wow.
I'm not, you know.
I was closer than I thought.
I'm not making this up. This whole thing was like made out of marble. It was an ancient capital city of Caesarea. Okay. And this discovery is the first of its kind in Israel. It illustrates a drinking scene, like I said, between Dionysus, the god of wine, and Hercules. And they just...
Wow.
The people that found it, of course, this is unbelievable in the detail. And I don't know. I don't think they put an age on it yet, but...
Where'd they get the ping pong balls from? I mean, that would have been from China or something back then.
Yeah, and the solo cups.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. No, that was all there. No, that came later after after they had, you know, patched some of this stuff together because there were some fragments and that.
Yeah.
So they they didn't really have the whole scene immediately.
It's like put the puzzle together.
Yeah, they kind of put it together, and then it's like, wow.
That's amazing.
It is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
Right? So, so if you thought you and your buddies invented the, you know, the drinking game, no. No, you didn't. That came a long way before that. But, yeah. Dionysus and Hercules.
That's kind of crazy.
Slamming them down. they didn't know there'd be Joe Biden drinking games coming up years later.
I had no idea.
Nope. All right, what else do we have going on? The Israeli's top military official disclosed that elite Israeli commandos operated covertly inside Iran during Operation Rising Lion. That's the part of the operation that was handled by Israel as part of what intelligence and nuclear experts now assess was a campaign that inflicted systemic, not just tactical, destruction on the Islamic Republic's nuclear program. So you've got people that were operating inside, at least inside Iran. Mm-hmm. So they would probably have better and more information than whatever intel was initially kind of scrabbled together and part of that document that was leaked that really wasn't a full document, et cetera. But anyway, the Lieutenant General there, Zamir, said in a televised address, after 12 days of unprecedented fighting, I can say that the IDF operated at its best and fully achieved the aims and objectives of the operation. He emphasized that the mission had one clear goal from the start, to remove the existential threat to the state of Israel. And the Lieutenant General outlined the nature of the threat, calling it a plan to exterminate the state of Israel, which he said rested on three pillars: a nuclear program nearing weapons breakout, a long-range missile arsenal designed to inflict mass civilian casualties, and a multi-theater ground invasion. These were not merely theoretical plans, he said. The threat became real. All right. It is 7:46 right now. It's time for things that make you smile. Upbeat, positive thoughts. You know, count your blessings even when the chips seem down. You still have a lot to be thankful for. That kind of thing.
What if it's political?
No politics. Oh, okay. We've done that all day.
Okay.
Let's just put in some good stuff. All right.
Nice.
Things that make you smile. Upbeat, positive stuff. And it's brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. So go ahead and call in right now. 877-975-9825. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. Another day in paradise, my friends. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it's time now for things that make you smile, brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. So call in now with your positive, upbeat thoughts. 877-975-9825. Don't be shy. Call in now. Good morning, Tom. What's making you smile?
The British inventor James Dyson, who invented the Dyson vacuum cleaner, has saved my hairy dog's life. This Dyson is the most wonderful thing. This dog is shedding incredibly, and this thing picks up these hairs that just cover my whole home. Thank you, James Dyson. You are my hero. That makes me smile.
Wow.
He's got some cool stuff. He really does.
Well, and I know something about a little bit about shedding animals.
Yes, you do.
And I'm telling you,
you got some fur balls.
The minute we find a real use for that animal hair, I'm retiring.
Well,
because I'm going to be rich.
You need to look up, do a little homework of a guy, a barber who was in St. Louis. Last name was Black. I knew him back in the early 80s. And he would save the hair. He actually had a little thing where he would sweep it at the end of the day, and it would go down into a thing in the basement. And he found all kinds of things to do with human
hair.
He
did.
Yeah, so you might take some of those ideas and do it.
What do I look up? St. Louis Barber?
Barber, his last name was Black. I can't think of his first name. Had him on the show back in like 1982 or something.
Man, and I bet he had some hairy stories to tell.
I bet he did. Actually, he did. But yeah, so there's probably some creativity out there of what you could do with
it. Probably could use him for like oil spills, maybe that would help.
Maybe.
And clean up, I don't know.
And he would chop it up for some things, and it went in other materials, and yeah, you never know.
I guess you could fill pillows if you really wanted to.
Well, you put down, you know.
It's not hypoallergenic, I don't know.
Well, it depends on the dog, probably.
Yeah.
Insulation, maybe? Well, I don't know. Could you insulate with it? It'd probably break down, though.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Over time.
It's not biodegradable. Well, it is biodegradable, I guess it would be.
We'll have to think on that. Yeah.
A new invention.
You know, it makes me smile, Greg.
What's that? Besides the thought about inventing something and getting rich.
Oh, my little old hardworking Betsy out there on the ranch. And she's got our, you know, swimming pool and now the area next to it, you know?
Yeah.
What do you call it? A deck.
Yes.
Okay? She's done most of it, honestly, single-handedly. I've been able to help her a whole lot. And
how convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she put up a rail. I mean, she made some cuts that were, you know, angles and precision. And
they were right.
Yeah, right angles.
Yeah.
No, it's, man, I'm proud of her. I think she's doing a great job. And, it's nice. It's for all intents and purposes, you know, the main part of it is all pretty much done.
How convenient for you.
Yeah. The good Lord just continues to bless and bless and bless.
Uh-huh.
And what am I to do other than to enjoy his blessings?
And the deck.
You know?
Or the pool, yeah.
You know, you're invited, too, to the when we get together.
Is there going to be a grand opening, a ribbon-cutting ceremony or anything like that, maybe?
It's possible.
Okay.
It's possible. Yeah. You'll have to leave early before the freak-off, but that's another story altogether.
I kind of figured
that's right. Those things are not...
No.
Yeah. Can't joke about them or something.
Too soon.
All right. Coming up next, it's The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. The left-wing Denver City Council voted unanimously to shutter its anti-theft auto license plate tracking system. Why would they do that? They paid $660,000 to renew the contract a year ago, and it aided in the recovery of 170 stolen cars, 300 arrests. It was also used, the data, to investigate hit and runs and even murder cases. Well, as it turns out, that monitoring system could also be used by ICE. And these lefties would have nothing to do with them because they could track illegals and apprehend them and deport them. Yep. Lefties protecting illegals while making it less safe for the citizens. That is your smoking gun. Brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. On behalf of Greg, I'm Bob. God bless you and your family. See ya.